Hey there, folks. How are you? It's time for Atomic Radio Hour, episode 247. 247. That's 247 more. How are you? You look great today. You look as good as you always do. Maybe even a little better. You hitting the gym? You doing Pilates again? Damn, girl, looking right as I curse in the first 10 seconds. How are you? What's going on? What's new? Got a lot of things to talk about this year. First thing, I want to talk about, well, there's a few things I want to talk about. First thing is my favorite time of year being E3. Doesn't seem like it's happening, and I've spoken about this a little bit in the past, and I want to speak about it a little more. I have a piece of lore that was recommended to me that's just fun. It's just different. It's not anything that I thought I'd ever cover, and it's a lot to just leave up to the imagination. And some other stuff, some PC video gaming stuff that I'd like to talk about because, you know, I think the PC Master Race is such a scam. We'll get there. And my favorite internet legend has been released from prison. But starting at the tippity top, let me grab my notes before I even get like super into anything. So Kyle sent me this. This is from Wario64 on Twitter. Sega and Tencent are skipping E3 2023. IGN also reports numerous individuals in publishing / PR haven't heard from anyone who's planning to attend for sure, and also said there's a significant lack of communication from ESA / ReadPop. I'm not exactly sure what ESA or ReadPop is, but E3 is dead. And I hate to say this, but E3 is dead, guys.
Hey, Vince here, live from the editing bay. They actually can sell E3 this year. Lol.
Microsoft's not there, Sony's not there, Nintendo's not there. Nintendo hasn't been there for a minute. Sony stopped going a few years ago. And Microsoft, I really thought it was going to be the Microsoft and like the EA or Ubisoft show. And now, if Sega's not there and Tencent isn't there, who's there? I can't imagine anybody's really going to be there. It sucks. Maybe E3 can develop itself into just like an indie showcase. That'd be cool. The way the industry is going, it'd probably be the indie showcase where it's just a bunch of indies show up and get like some time and say, hey, my name's Roger and this is my brother Franklin and we're building this game from scratch. And, you know, it's this massive open world indie RPG with life sim elements and it's got more dialogue than Skyrim, but all the voices are by me, Rod, my brother Franklin, and our respective wives, and maybe one or two of our kids, but they're like infants, because, you know, I work 60 hours a week as an engineer, but they're like doing this on the side, and then it comes out and it's like $35, but it's like the best game you've ever played. That's the thing with indies, they're either the best thing you've ever played or a 10-hour experience that's like, yeah, whatever, it was 10, 15, 20 bucks. Like, but the way the industry is going, that'll happen. And then Microsoft will just come in and go, I'll take you and I'll take you. You look nice. You have some tech that we could use. You have a 10-person team. Cool. You're going to go work on Call of Duty now. I'd like to see a year, maybe just because of COVID and now that we're like out of COVID because now it doesn't exist. Maybe now is the time where everyone's like, hey, we need a year break because we're finally getting up to speed and we're not delaying everything. Who knows? Next year, E3 could come back in a big, bad way. And hopefully it does. I'm a big fan of E3. I've said it here multiple times. I love E3. I love this time, that time of year where you sit around with your buddies and you speculate and you go, oh man, what's coming out? I remember watching like Call of Duty, like Black Ops, especially being able to pilot the helicopter. I thought it was so dope as a kid. Seeing Fallout 3 at E3 2007, or maybe it was 2008. I always forget just like seeing that. And now like the shelf being behind me, it's so hard to green screen and remember where things are. It's like being a weatherman. Like having the shelf behind me and having the podcast, like all of it. It's so weird how things just stem from other things. And if I never saw E3 that year, then none of this would be real. And just to think that, like, you know, my brother's generation or the generation below him is just going to be like, oh, hey, did you get the thing on Twitter? Yeah. New studio, new game. Kind of boring. Huge open world. Every building you can go inside of. Yeah, not really my thing. Like, I don't know. It kind of seems like it's slowly becoming just this one homogenized mess all over the place. But rest in peace to you, E3. 1990-something, or 80-something. I don't think it started in 89, so we'll say 90-something to 2020. Because it might be back next year. I think they should have like a formal goodbye, honestly. I'm just a big fan of endings. I'm a big fan of goodbyes. I'm a big fan of ending things that feel like they, you know, they ran their course. A relationship, a good meal, a satisfying poopy. Just, you know, I'm a big fan of an ending. And I wish they'd have like a, hey, E3, the final year. And they sell merch and stuff. And then, you know, in 5-10 years, bring it back like Toys R Us. I mean, everyone's doing their own directs. It's cheaper for everyone to do their own directs. But there was a certain sort of celebration and, like, camaraderie that, like, even when the console wars was a thing that, like, somehow still is. I'm going to talk about this in a second. That somehow it is still a thing. Like, we all kind of came together and said, hey, man, I play on PlayStation, but that new Halo game looks pretty cool. Or you came and said, like, man, I love me some Master Chief, but damn, does God of War look fun. Like, stuff like that. We can sit back and admire new things and just celebrate the hobby and the passion that we all had for having control in our hand and being able to manipulate an image on screen in a manner because of storytelling or because of mechanics or what have you, and just a respect and an enjoyment that all of us had together. Now, speaking of console wars, I kind of want to talk about The Last of Us for just a moment. No spoilers. I just want to get into PC ports and varying consoles and what have you. For the longest time, it seems like Nintendo is going to be the company that holds out on PC. I don't think they're ever going to do it. I think Nintendo knows who they are and what they have and who buys their stuff. And especially with the Switch, which I've been playing and really enjoying and genuinely thinking about buying Skyrim for it. But I think I might buy it used because Todd has enough of my money when it comes to Skyrim. I bought the game like 3 or 4 times. 360, PS4, and Steam. And I might have bought it one more time for my brother. So at least 3 that I can remember. So I've been playing and I've been enjoying it. I'm playing Stardew. And I think Nintendo understands that, hey, our audience is people who want to play indies. People want to play our stuff. But predominantly, it's children at this point. And Nintendo's always marketed to children. After the video game crash in 83, where nobody wanted to play them and they thought it was a fad, Nintendo came back in 85 and said, we're not going to market in the electronics department, we're going to market in the toy aisle. So in the electronics section of the toy aisle was your NES. So it wasn't a video game, it was a toy. So they know what they're doing when they market to kids. But Sony has slowly been opening up to putting their games on PC. Some of the, I believe the first God of War is on PC. I say the first in the sense of the new PS4 version, the PlayStation 5, the modern generation of it. Days Gone is there. Days Gone is a game that you shouldn't waste your time with. It's got awful writing. I'm just going to say it. Sorry if anybody likes that game. That game bores the hell out of me. Spider-Man is on PlayStation, I do believe. If it isn't already, it's coming. No, I think it is, because I think I saw somebody mod CJ into it. And now, The Last of Us, one of my favorite series ever. I prefer the second one more than the first one. And behind me is PC Joel. Politically correct Joel. I joke. Haha, I kid. This here is PC Joel. This is what the game looks like on PC. I think the whole PC Master Race thing is BS for various reasons. It's $2,000 to get into PC gaming. And personally, I like that I have a PlayStation. See PC Joel? He's not going away. I like that I have a PlayStation because it's the place, it's the station, it's the area that I sit down and I record. Or, I'm sorry, not record, I play something. So to me, having a PlayStation just kind of fits the bill. It just kind of fits the feeling of, okay, well, I'm just going to sit down and play. My computer is used for a myriad of things. Like, I could use it for video games, I could use it for editing, I could use it to watch videos, I could use it to watch videos, wink, wink. Like, I can use it to do my taxes, buy stocks, buy bonds, I can go on it and use my Twitter, or use Reddit, like, it's an all-in-one. And maybe, because I have undiagnosed ADHD, because I can't focus on anything, maybe it's because of that. Maybe it's because I need just, this is what this is for this. I for the longest time, I had my phone and an iPod, like, for years. Like, years of me having a smartphone. It was, here is my phone, here is my iPod. Because I liked that, even though I would use social media on my iPod, and I still had a smartphone that did the same thing, I liked that the iPod was for music. So let's say I have a PC. Let's say I buy a gaming PC. $2,000. And then the games that I want to play, yes, I have access to every game that's ever come out. Legally, absolutely legal in Minecraft. And I can download a bunch of GameCube games, I can download a bunch of PS2 games in Minecraft, I can download all this stuff, I can emulate everything in Minecraft, right? I can do that. But I don't like that every time I go to play a game, I have to sit through configuration, I have to boot it up, I have to see, oh, why isn't the audio coming through the right way? I turn on my PlayStation and it works. And now you have something like this, this PC version of Joel, who's still behind me, and PC Joel looks like ass. And if you want to play these games and you're a gamer, hashtag gamer, I don't see the problem in buying a console. Yeah, it's expensive, but how badly do you want to play the games? That's kind of the way I see it. Like, everybody pirated Metroid Dread, which is a game I'm thinking about picking up. But it's a game that everybody pirated. Buy a Switch. Why are you, like, and I'm not even saying the argument of there's a team that worked on this and there's artists that worked on this and went into it. The Last of Us is a 10-year-old game. I think this year it's 10 years. Part 1 is 10 years old. But now it's on PC and it doesn't run. In 4 hours, Kyle sent me a video, this guy going in 10 hours of play or 4 hours of play. I'm not good with numbers. In an amount of time of play, they had 14 crashes. And the guy said they're making fun of PC players. I don't agree with that sentiment. I don't agree with the sentiment of making fun of somebody because they play on PC, because they play on console, because they play mobile. I think we should be celebrating the fact that we all play video games. I remember being a kid and getting made fun of because I liked video games. PC Joel is still on screen. I love the fact that it's more open and that people that I work with will talk about it. And, like, not to sound like a shitty 2011 gamer, but, like, girls play video games now. And I know, whoa, everybody, calm down. Call the presses. Vince said a semi, what's the word? A feminist statement. But it kind of sounded a little sexist. Back in my day, back in my time, girls didn't play video games. I remember, like, trying to talk to girls that I knew about video games, and they were just like, they'd laugh at you. Not because I'm trying to, like, impress them with my shit gamer knowledge, but just, like, trying to talk about my interests. And now it's just like, oh, yeah, I have a Switch. I play Animal Crossing, or I play Pac-Man, or I play this Tetris game. Like, I have these games on Switch that I like. Stardew is one of those games that I feel like a lot of females, a lot of women, femoids, as some of the internet might refer to them as, enjoy. And there's nothing wrong with that. Pokemon! I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it's just the time and the place of everything. So why are we saying it's such a bad... I think there's also just the experience of sitting down, turning something on, playing something, PC Joel. Like, it's just you get something. And it sucks that there is still this console war mentality. It sucks that you have to buy a $600 piece of machinery just to experience something, because it's made to be experienced. I don't like the idea of exclusives, because exclusives stop other people from playing stuff. I know people that have never played a Halo game, or the only reason they ever played a Halo game is because I had it and they played it with me, just to be like, oh, let's see what this is about. The same thing, I never played God of War. Because I went from GameCube to PS3 for a very short amount of time, and then I left PS3 to go to Xbox because of Halo, and I never played Sly Cooper till the PS... just about the PS4 was out, or the PS4 was out. I never played Ratchet and Clank until the same time. There's things that I missed, but I went back because I wanted to try it. Things that you can emulate on PC, yes. But if you want to play these things natively, it's kind of hard. So I think what I'm getting at with this segment is we shouldn't be having a PC master race issue anymore, because as long as we're playing games, I think we should be happy that we're playing games. We should be able to say, hey man, what do you play? What do you play on? Oh, Xbox, I'm on PlayStation. Shit, I guess we can't play together. But we can play Fortnite. You like Fortnite? No? No more Fortnite? Okay. But there's something to be played. Cross-platform is a thing. And I think we just have to enjoy it while we can, because soon you're not even going to own games. Soon you're just going to be like, I bought the license. I paid $70 for a license. I don't own anything. Nothing came with it. Or you could get what they did with Red Dead 2. There was two versions. You bought the game and then a $100 version that came with everything that a special edition would come with, a premium special edition, except for the game. So I think the PC Master Race is kind of silly. Now, I know the reason you're here. Probably the reason why you're here. If it's not to look at me and listen to my sultry voice, it's to hear about some Fallout stuff. And I want to talk about it. Before I talk about it, I have to bring up the Patreon. Because of the Patreon, I can make the show bigger and better. And I have to thank some people who have been supporting for quite a while now. And because of them, I can continue to do things and make the show bigger and better. So starting from the top, I have to thank the OG Noah. Thank you, Noah. After Noah, it's Danny. Thank you, Danny. After Danny, it's Marcus. Thank you, Marcus. And last but certainly not least, I have to thank Mellow Millhouse. Thank you to Mellow Millhouse. Because of you guys, the show continues to get bigger and better. And I thank you. And I love you. But now on to the lore. I've been kind of switching it up. Normally I do, in the Discord, I'll ask a question. The past four, half of them, of these episodes, I went into the Patreon and had a poll, and I asked what they wanted to hear. And last week I didn't, because I'm bad at time management and I've been tired forever. And this week, kind of the same thing. I had a very hectic weekend. I said in the last episode, I was up for a new job, didn't get it. It was hectic. I was tired. I actually went to bed the other night at like 9, got up at like 6, and was still exhausted. So this week I totally spaced. But one of the OG homies from all the way back in the day, which might have been a Wednesday, hits me on Discord and goes, hey, I don't know if you're taking any lore suggestions right now, but I'd love to hear about the wreck of the FMS North Star. And I said, thank you for saving my ass, because I totally forgot to do it. So if you want to hear any lore, and I do mean any lore whatsoever from the Fallout series, join the Patreon. Even at the dollar tier, you can join the poll and say what you want to hear when I do a poll there. Be in the Discord. I'll ask the Discord a question, and whoever gets the question right gets to pick lore for the week. Sometimes you could just DM me on Twitter. My Twitter's in the description. Or on Discord, you could DM me and just say, hey, man, love to listen to the show today. Da-da-da. Love to hear this or that. Leave a YouTube comment. But this week's lore, DM'd to me by the Deadly Lampshade, is on the FMS North Star from Fallout 4. Now, the FMS North Star, FMS stands for Foreign Military Sales. And essentially what the FMS North Star is a ship, a foreign ship, coming all the way from the mythical land of Norway. And I really like what this sets up, because Fallout is so American-centric. A lot of people I see all the time say, I'd love to see a Fallout that takes place in London, or I'd love to see a Fallout that takes place in Mexico and Canada. I think you could kind of get away with, because it's North American. And especially with the time of everything going on, the annexation of Canada, Mexico being there. And I can only imagine that Mexico is, there's an earthquake in the 2040s that I would feel like would influence the way Mexico is. And with the imports and the factories being in Mexico, I feel like Mexico actually has a very, very, very good chance of showing up. Especially if we see like Texas, that area, which I know has been brought up a bit that fans want to see. Some fans of Fallout want to see Louisiana. I'd love to see a Louisiana one. But when you get to see the outside world, and this is what Lampshade said to me, Deadly Lampshade said to me when he brought this up to me, is that as someone who lives in the UK, he likes seeing when they do something outside of America. And I agree. I like seeing that. There was a rumor back in the day that, like, England was untouched. And it was just like, it wasn't a rumor, it was a fan theory. Or that Fallout 4, one of my favorite fan theories before Fallout 4 came out, was going to be that it's based in Boston. It was going to be a normal game that you're doing all this normal stuff, and then all of a sudden the British invade. And it's very reminiscent of the colonies leaving English rule to become their own country, which then makes America. And that was super interesting. That I really wanted to see. But we don't get to see much from outside of the US. And what they're setting up here is that there's life outside. Even if it's pre-war life, it's still culture and customs that carries over into this new world. Now, the ship being the FMS Northern Star is most likely a reference to the MS, and I'm going to say this incorrectly. So if there's any Nordic people that listen, I'm very sorry. Norstjernern? N-O-R-D-S-T-J-E-N-E-N. Norstjernern. That's either the name of the ship or the couch I bought at IKEA. It was retired in 2012 and is respected as a piece of Norwegian history up until this day. So it's a ship that has history within the country. It means something to the country. So most likely the name of the ship in game, the Northern Star, is a reference to this. It's also the way it's translated. Nordenstjernen, part of that translates to north. Now, it's a wrecked Norwegian ship, like I said, and there's a crew. It doesn't say how big the crew is. Actually, all of the terminals. So I get all of my lore off of fallout.fandom.wiki, the Nukipedia, if you will. And there's a bunch of terminals on the ship, but I believe there's four. If there's not four, there's two. If I'm wrong, I apologize. The terminals are just for spotlights and turrets and nothing else. And even though it's a Norwegian ship, all of the terminals are in English, which, whatever. It's probably too hard to go in and turn everything in, Norwegian, but whatever. I'm not upset about it. It's just a little thing I wanted to point out. There's a crew there, and they've been there for some time. Now, according to the wiki, the crew captain of this ship, his name is Rags, and it says, There's a direct quote from the wiki. Rags and his crew are still living on the ship, stranded off the coast of Boston since the day the bombs dropped. He and his crew have since become ghouls and now defend their stranded ship from Mirelurks and other Commonwealth threats. I can't find anything on the wiki that says notes. I can't find anything on the wiki that says, like here's a journal that you can pick up or here's a terminal entry. I can't find any of that anywhere on the wiki. So, who knows? Maybe it's just an entirely environmental storytelling. There should be some gameplay behind me. This gameplay is recorded well after the fact of me recording these. So I don't know. Maybe in that gameplay I found something. Maybe I was scooting around and walked into something and found a piece of lore that explains this. Because I don't know where that direct quote could come from. Because the entire crew still speaks Norwegian. And it made me think, here's an entire crew that still is entirely based in their culture. And because of their culture, they can't explore and go trade, start a community. These are men that have been there, and they're men. I don't know if this is a thing in the Fallout timeline, but pirates didn't bring women on the ship because it was considered bad luck. So this is entirely all men. They couldn't breed, they couldn't have kids, and now they're all ghouls, so let's assume that they're all sterile. There's a thing somewhere that a ghoul says, we are the first and last of our own breed. One day all the ghouls will be gone because we've either died or gone mad and turned feral. So these are the last group of men. They carry a tradition with them. What a better place for a diet that is mostly consistent of fish, if I remember correctly, those Nordic countries. You're in Boston. You can fish all you want. But for 210 years, they've been off the coast. And it reminded me, back in the day, some of you who've been here for a while, there used to be a show on the channel called Atomic Tabletop that was with me and all of the old hosts of Atomic Radio Hour and two of our friends, Chris and Kyle. And we played, we didn't play a lot, but what we did play, we had fun. We played to ourselves personally before we recorded it. And I created I created two characters for the game. One you may know is Ron Gulman, attorney at law, and the other one was a fellow by the name of Stockholm. And I didn't know this existed. Like, I had no clue this. I think I might have made Stockholm before Fallout 4 or shortly after Fallout 4 had come out. And Stockholm was a ghoul from Sweden. And the only word in English he understood was Stockholm, because that's where he was from. So people would ask him, who are you? What are you doing? And he would just go, Stockholm, and shrug his shoulders. So he started being called Stockholm. He was a sniper, this and that. But there was a whole story that his family had come to the States and they were ghouls as well. Or no, I'm sorry. It was after the bombs had dropped and they weren't yet ghoulified, and he sent them away, and then he started to ghoul, and then he came to the States. And he couldn't talk to anybody else in the party. And they just had to figure out what to do with him. And how many people are out there that aren't a Desmond Miles, that don't speak English, that came to another country, or a Colin Moriarty, or a Alistair Tenpenny that spoke English and came from another country and just lucked out by going, okay, everybody's still speaking English. Good stuff. How many people are here? How many people are in New Vegas or in around like Utah, that New Canaan, Ogden area, or in Texas? If Los or the Alamo area, the Alamo settlement that is from one of the Tactics games, if that stuff turns out to be canon, how much of the language is a blend of English and Spanish? This is an area that I think is so neat because of what it is. It's almost nothing, but it's enough to make my mind race and go, what internal struggle has been here? Has anybody showed up? Why are they so hostile immediately? Did people show up early on and tried to help them, but because they had guns and the Norwegians had guns, it became a standoff. And after one standoff, they said, cool, we don't trust anybody. And on top of that, they have to fight Mirelurks. So they can't trade. They don't have the luxury of trading. They have to go out and scavenge and kill and get lucky enough that they can make Mirelurk crab cake meat, pâtés, whatever. This is the type of thing that I think Fallout does so well at, especially the modern stuff, is these small vignettes, these small little bastions of civilization that tell so much with so little. And I'm the first person to say that Fallout 4 feels a little underdone. From the voice protagonist to just things being like a wiki entry. Like, you can go on a New Vegas wiki entry and it's paragraphs. And this character talks to this character over here and that character there. And that's such a strong suit of New Vegas. And Fallout 1 does it a bit. Fallout 2 does it a lot. But this is what I really like. It's the worlds that pull me in. The characters are great too, don't get me wrong. But a lot of it is the world. And something like this really, really draws me in. So here's something that I read and went, oh no, what am I going to do? And just talked about it for how many minutes? Because of how enticing it is to think about something like this. So I really don't have much else to say. Oh, other than there's some loot that I'd like to talk about. You can get the agility bobblehead here. You can get a mini nuke, a stealth boy, tales of a junk town jerky vendor, and a fusion core. Like I said, this is a ship that's been unoccupied/unoccupied for 210 years. This is making the best out of the worst situation. This is the wreckage of the FMS Northern Star. And that is your lore for this week. So real quick for this last segment, we got to talk about the internet. We got to talk about the internet. I feel like talking about the internet is a very important thing to do. There is an entire generation that, two generations maybe at this point, who don't remember a life without the internet. And I do kind of. I kind of remember a life without the internet in the sense that there was a Fairly Odd Parents episode where they like literally surfed the net. And I remember, this is the first time I remember seeing the internet. So this is like 2001, 2002. That there was a thing on Nickelodeon.com where you can go on and play the game and they have the high scores at the end of the episode leading up to this episode. That's the first memory I have of the internet. That I remember being like, what is this? Then I remember going to my grandma's house and she had the internet. She lived in New York, like a 2-hour drive. And she had the internet. And I remember being like, Grandma, can I go on the internet? I want to know what this is. Like, I want to see what this CartoonNetwork.com, this Disney.com, this Nickelodeon.com, Nick Jr. I was like way too old to be on like NickJr.com, but I knew it had a website, so I wanted to see what it was. My grandmother had this thing called dial-up. And for the uninitiated, it's you couldn't pick up the phone. So I like she'd get a phone call and pick it up, and I was booted off the internet. Wild. You'd hear like a like noise. And there's still people that have this type of internet. Older people. And I think it's important that we can document everything that has happened throughout the internet's history. I feel like a lot of kids that watch a lot of YouTube nowadays don't understand how important Newgrounds is. And I say that as if like no one knows about Newgrounds, but I know there's millions of people that know Newgrounds. But Newgrounds to me felt so special as a kid. And if you understand the crowd that might have come from Newgrounds, and you might understand where this is going if you've been in the Discord and if you've had a conversation with me or follow me on Twitter, somebody very important to internet history got arrested a few years back. I want to say about 2 or 3 years back. And they recently got out of prison. Everybody, Chris Chan is out of jail. I repeat, Chris Chan... Christopher Christian, Ricardo Weston, Christine, Blueheart Sonichu Weston Chandler, I think that's every name, CPU Blueheart, is currently out of prison. The wife of Magichan and Mewtwo, out of prison. So if you don't know, Chris Chan, how do I say this without the video getting like blocked? S-A'd. Chris is a trans woman. There is some people who have said, Chris has said himself that he wanted to transition to a woman because then he could hook up with lesbians too. She assaulted her mother and is now out of prison. And what the hell is Chris Chan going to do? Because there was apparently, if I remember correctly, a PFA or a restraining order put in order against Barb, Chris's mother, and Chris. So what do we do at this point? What is there to do at this point? Chris can't go back to their house. But Kyle messaged me. I sent Kyle the picture of Chris getting bailed out or is out on bond. And Chris can't go home because Barb is still alive. As far as we know, Barb is alive. And can't be around their mom because they assaulted their mother. So, what do you do at this point? Chris is an important figure. We know more about Chris than we... I think it's like Chris is the most documented human in history next to like Hitler and George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. It's like them in the running. I could be wrong with that, but a lot of people know a lot about Chris. Normie-ass people that I work with know about Chris Chan. One fella I used to work with actually came into where I used to work. And I saw him and I was like, yo, buddy boy, what's going on? We're shooting the shit and then... There was like a lull in the conversation. I just went, did you hear what Chris Chan did to his mom? Just because of everybody knows. Like there was a clip of Tucker Carlson talking about Chris Chan. And then I came down, it came to my mom asked me about Chris Chan. Like everybody knows about it. Now we're at the end of a saga. Kyle said, he goes, can you, what a time to be alive. We got to see the end, the start and the end of a saga. Cause a lot of us, I mean, I feel like I did. I think I got in about 2012, 2013, 2014. So a lot of like the big stuff was gone. Liquid Chris is a doctor and Liquid Chris, one of the Chris's, the imposter Chris, the one who like totally trolled Chris into oblivion is a doctor and Chris is in prison, was in prison for essaying his mother, her mother. Wild. I just think it's something fun to talk about. I could. If you don't know anything about Chris Chan and all this sounds foreign and crazy to you, this started because Chris is a big Sonic fan and a big Pokemon fan and put Sonic the Hedgehog and Pokemon and Pikachu together, Pokemon together, and made Sonichu and made some comics. And the internet did its thing. So, you know, it's not every day I get to talk about Chris Chan on here. It's not every day I get to talk about Chris Chan. Damn. I was thinking about, actually, this past Halloween, a friend and I were thinking about doing, what's it called? Like a costume, like a matching costume of Chris Chan, and I was just going to be Sonichu. We didn't do it. I don't believe in Halloween. This is not my thing. I wore a captain's hat. That's all I did. Anyway, that's about everything I have for you this week. My name has been Vince. This has been Atomic Radio Hour. The intro music is by the one and only Shane Ivers. Link in the description below to his music, all of his heaters. Silvermansounds.com/free music. If you throw another slash at the end there and hit Feather Duster, you can find mine. But if you don't, all of his music, absolutely free. I'm a big fan of the one called Bees. Link in the description to my Twitter, the show's Twitter, Kyle's Twitter, the Discord, the Patreon. Again, thank you to the Patreon, the Redbubble, and a bunch of other fun stuff. Thank you for sticking around with me this week. I love you very much, and I'll be seeing you next week. Bye, everybody.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
A Ghoulman Entertainment Production.